Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night, cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, as always, is the master of the Robo Scout, former NFBC main event co-champion, the pride of Toronto, Canada, in the province of Ontario, Dylan White, at the arrival. What's going on, man? How are you, dude? How you been?
I've been okay. I don't know if I'm the pride of Toronto anymore. There's TJ Stats is killing it on social media. Ellie Benporat's doing great. I'm like third at best.
Oh, you're making the dollars, baby. That's what matters, you know.
That's true.
You're bringing home the titles, you know. But exactly. We love all those guys. They do great stuff.
I'm doing fine. You, I've been just at home in my little bubble plugging away. But you've been out on the backfields. You've been doing the live looks. You've been working it down there in the hullabaloo of spring training. So welcome back to your home.
Yeah, welcome back to cold temperatures and barren trees. That's kind of what the imagery is. It's like kind of like jarring when you come back after a couple of weeks and you're like, there's no leaves or vegetation really that's blooming yet. You know, we'll start to get there over the next couple of weeks. I'm sure we'll be fine. But yeah, the drop in temperature, and it wasn't even like extremely hot in Florida. I had a lot of like mid 60s, low 60s kind of days, a couple of breezy days on the backfields. But yeah, I mean, I saw all 10 teams in the west coast of Florida. That was obviously a blast. Got multiple looks, I think, on just about everybody. And, you know, I had plenty of information from people that were at different backfield games, et cetera, that, you know, I wasn't at because I was at a different park at that point in time. So, yeah, a lot of information coming. You know, there's going to be Josh's article. I'm going to write something that's going to be up on the site. Probably as you're listening to this, it will probably already be published, kind of going through the 10 teams in the west coast of Florida and, you know, maybe some east coast stuff as well. But Josh was the only one that saw that. But we were at a majority of the spring breakout games, had a BA writer of some sort there between Jesus, Cano, one of our new writers, follow him if you don't. Of course, JJ Cooper, myself, Josh. So, you know, it wasn't too bad, man. We got to see a lot of baseball, a lot of good players. You know, that Red Sox spring breakout game was just like an absolute blast, you know, of blasts. So that was the one I think that will probably be etched in my memory for quite a long time. And speaking of that, Dylan, Christian Campbell breaks camp with the Red Sox. What do you have to say about that?
I'm very excited. I have him a couple places. He was always someone I was hoping would break camp. I know there was a pretty good, like Marcelo Mayer came out of nowhere, but he kind of put himself in the running for second base there. And it just kept flip-flopping with Vaughn Grissom and David Hamilton. But, you know, Christian Campbell, who started off slow, kind of built his way back, had a couple nice defensive plays that are all over Twitter, and then now announced as the making the opening day roster. I assume he's going to be a regular. I don't know where he's going to hit in the lineup, maybe like sixth. It's a pretty good Red Sox lineup, but you know, I'm looking for 15 to 20 home runs, 15 to 20 steals, good batting average. May start off slow, but you know, that type of thing by the end of the year, I'm very excited.
Yeah. And I think this is something that we talked about a lot this offseason. And, you know, I know there were a couple of dynasty startup drafts I was involved in where I was super aggressive on Campbell. One where, you know, I used him in that auction, that Dynasty Killers League with a bunch of big names, the one that my good friend Dan Fu runs. Shout out to Dan Fu. Just spent some time with him down in Florida. Had a blast. Drafted another DC team. Hopefully we'll finish back in the money like we did last year. But that's a quick aside. But in that league, you know, I think I put up like $17 or something like that in the auction, which is one of the higher prices. But it was cheaper than what the cost was on Jason Dominguez. And I don't know, right now, like just for 2025 redraft, you taking Campbell, or you taking Dominguez?
You know, I think I might take, that's close. I think it's probably a need-based thing. Off the top of my head, probably Dominguez, just because I think outfield's a bit thinner, depending on how deep the league is. In a, you know, like a 20-team league with five outfielders, I would take Dominguez. But in a 12-team, you know, I might take Campbell instead of Dominguez. And Campbell might get outfield as well. So depending on, you know, your league settings and all that, of course. But I think back at the beginning of spring training, it's Dominguez because he seems to be assured of a role, and Campbell was on the bubble. And now that, you know, Campbell's in, and you know, Dominguez's defense has not really improved too much, he may not be long for a full-time role. They may get kind of tired of his defense. So I could easily see the case for Campbell. It's really a coin flip, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it is kind of close. But I do think Campbell maybe adds a little bit more batting average than I think you'll get from Jason. I think like Jason will probably have, you know, equal power numbers, maybe a little bit better. They're both good on base guys. I just believe in the hit tool a little bit more with Campbell. And the power isn't that different because Campbell hits the ball at, like, consistently at really good angles. So yeah, it'll be interesting. It seemed like he started to really get going at the end of camp, had a home run, some nice plays in the field, of course, went back to back with Marcelo Meyer. You know, I think that we're probably going to hear that Roman Anthony is going to start the season in AAA with Marcelo Meyer. Some of that had to do with Abreu, whether Abreu was healthy or not. Kind of looked like a couple weeks ago that maybe he wasn't going to be healthy enough to start the season, but did not come to fruition. He was back playing in games the last couple of weeks. So I do think that we'll probably won't see Anthony maybe until like a couple months into the season, a month into the season. I mean, he did play very well. He was very impressive. Another guy that finished well late in camp. But, you know, I do think that there's at least, you know, some question marks there. All right. Let's bounce back to another name here, another top prospect, another top five kind of guy that's going to be breaking camp with his respective club. That's Jackson Jobe. What are your expectations for Jackson Jobe in redraft this year, Dylan? I think I'm pretty in at what the price point is. Even if there's a limitation of innings at like 120, 130 in terms of a cap, I think the strikeouts are going to be good. I think the addition of the sinker as well as the curveball just really rounds out his arsenal and allows him to maybe get through lineups a little bit quicker.
Yeah, I mean, I just came out with the like pitching prospects for redraft, and I talked about how I was a bit leery of Jobe. If we knew he was going to make the rotation or throw, you know, 120 innings or so, he would be, you know, higher than I had him ranked. And I kind of had him a bit lower because he was really being drafted aggressively. He was being drafted in like the 18th round. That's like Nestor Cortez and like Reese Olson, like that type of thing, kind of more established pitchers who have a track record. Lizardo, I think, is in there in that same area. And it's just like, it seemed a bit rich. You needed Jobe to come out and be, you know, the Jackson Jobe we expect right out of the gate. And I thought that was a bit rich, so I had him lower. So of course, when it's announced he's in the starting rotation, now kind of all bets are off. So he, in redraft leagues, he's being taken in the 16th. He's being taken around Lizardo. I still think it's a bit rich, but you know, that's just my risk aversion. That's just being conservative. Like, he definitely could come out and shove kind of like Paul Skeens just straight out of the blue. I mean, he's a better prospect than Jared Jones was pedigree wise. His stuff is probably better. And if he's adding like a 97 mile an hour sinker and a curveball just to add to the like hellacious arsenal he already has. Like, kind of all bets are off, like I said. So he could be a top of the rotation guy. It might even be, you know, this season based on what we've been seeing from some rookie pitchers out of the gate. But, you know, I'm a bit leery. So I think I would rather have like Jesus Luzardo if I had my choice between the two. But yeah, I don't blame anyone for taking Job.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of in still. I just think the stuff is so good. I think, you know, he's already had a little bit of a taste of the major leagues. It's a good ballpark to pitch in. And, you know, I think that the strike throwing and just the pitchability factor with Job has maybe been a little bit underrated, which I find to be, you know, sort of interesting. All right, Dylan, let's move on to a personal favorite of this show, who is making headway and headlines all throughout spring training. Of course, I'm talking about number one in our hearts, Alan Rodon of the Toronto Blue Jays, outfielder, a guy that I feel like we've been singing the praises of for quite a long time now, Dylan. He makes the Blue Jays. What are your expectations this year? And how many, just give me the under over, okay, on how many at-bats he sees this season.
Ooh.
You can do plate appearances because he walks so much.
You know, that's a tough one. I think there are a lot of mouths to feed in the Blue Jays lineup right now. Outfield, Varsho's injured, but he'll come back. He'll be a mainstay in center because of the defense. They just signed Santander. You know, Springer has a long-term contract. So that's kind of three kind of stalwarts there. Now you have Davis Schneider, Alan Rodon. So, you know, he's the type of profile that you don't bet against, right? It's like Spencer Horwitz tearing up AAA, but like, is he going to getting the playing time? Is he going to get a chance? He doesn't really have too much power from a fantasy point of view. He doesn't have too much speed. It's just kind of high WRC plus, like good real life hitting. And that's kind of what Alan Rodon is. But then Hurwitz comes up last year at the end of the year, and he just starts crushing. So like, we can easily see that from Rodon. So I'm kind of dodging the question. I think logically, you know, 250 to 350, but I could easily see him if he hits the way he was doing in spring training. Just his approach, just the bat to ball, and then the power. Like his triple slash line in spring training this season has been nuts. He could just easily just run with the job. If Springer starts slumping, especially against righties or something, I can see Rodon coming in and kind of taking playing time. So I could easily see him do, you know, 400 to 450. Long way of saying, I don't know. He has the capacity and the potential. The Jays have a good lineup, so it'll be hard to crack. But, you know, if he starts off hot and just kind of continues the way he's been doing in spring training, obviously not that hot, but like WRC plus of, you know, 110, 120, he'll be in that lineup. Like he's not that bad defensively to take him out of the lineup.
No, so he's a strong defender in the corner outfield spot. I think like he has an unusual kind of barrel chested, stocky body. He's a really good athlete. He's a good runner. He's tested well. I can tell you just internally, externally, and just my own personal evaluations, he's really good in a corner outfield spot. He could probably play a little bit of center field if need be. It might be like surprisingly good out there because he runs good routes and he's really efficient. Just a smart dude, high work ethic, really high character, and just kind of a wizard with his discerning eye at the plate in terms of his ability to, you know, discern balls and strikes and know what pitches to attack on. And I think we've really seen him develop sort of a power stroke, I'll say, over the last couple of years, where when he gets those opportunities, like inner half fastballs, you know, he has like a sort of like an ace swing that he attacks with a little differently than he used to when he was at Creighton or early on in his professional career. So I'm really excited about Rodon. You know, can't wait to see what he does over the course of this season, especially now that, you know, he's on the 40-man roster and on the active roster, opportunities abound. He'll find his way into some playing time. I'm certain of it. Another player that we really like this offseason, somebody we've both written about recently, Will Warren of the Yankees ends up getting himself a rotation spot, obviously due to some injuries. Unfortunately for Yankees fans, you see Gerrit Cole go down, as well as others, you know, Louis Gil. Not the healthiest rotation at the top. I think we kind of all anticipated something would happen. You know, Max Fried and Carlos Rodon have not exactly been the picture of health themselves. But Will Warren makes his way into the Yankees rotation. It is a pressure cooker. It's a tough place for young pitchers to succeed. He's already had sort of his first taste of the big leagues, Dylan. What's your expectation for Will Warren this season? Let's say if he gets 20-plus starts.
I mean, he's worth taking a shot on for sure. Roboscott liked him last year. I have him in a couple DCs, and that was even before kind of these injuries, like and Clark Schmidt's another one too, Luis Gil and Gerrit Cole join those three. I like the comps to like Michael King, Clay Holmes, kind of this like east-west movement, high spin rate. So like the sweeper is the 18 inches on the glove side, and the sinker is, you know, 18 inches on the arm side. He didn't have the greatest taste of the major leagues last year, like an ERA over 10 in 22 innings. I kind of think, you know, a kind of average pitcher, like 4 ERA, a whip 1.24 or something like that, over a strikeout an inning. He'll get some wins with the Yankees if he goes 5. You know, he's not going to go too deep into games, I don't think. He'll be like, you know, four to six innings type of thing. I think he'll do okay. He may start off a bit tentative, but you know, I think he'll kind of settle in. I'm very optimistic that Will Warren will be a, you know, a productive pitcher for the Yankees.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And with that said, Dylan, let's take a quick break. We got a lot more stuff to talk about just in the notes section. We're going to get into sort of the FYPD postmortem that I wrote up today. I think that there's a couple of surging prospects. We're going to wait to talk about them, though, right after this break.
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
All right, Dylan, and we are back. We are still talking about all these different developing news, notes, injuries, players breaking camp, prospects breaking camp, guys getting rotation spots. There's all types of stuff that's happening here. Let's keep on talking about it. We got a rash of pitching injuries. Names that I think a lot of people like this offseason, a couple that we really liked as well. First one being Shane McClanahan. I guess it's a triceps injury. It looked worse than it actually was. Sounds like he's going to be shut down for a little bit, but should be back and pitching again shortly. Hopefully it's not, something reoccurring. Obviously coming off of Tommy John surgery, something you hate to see. And his stuff was back. I actually saw him in the backfields and was really good. Another name that we were very excited about, Ryan Weathers has an arm injury. That's something that looks like it's going to be long-term. We'll see where he's headed from here. Jared Jones, another injury. They say it's only going to be like 4 to 6 weeks now, though. So he's going to miss some starts, but it could be a lot worse. Sort of how are you dealing and navigating? How many times have you been exposed to some of these guys this offseason in drafts? I have one McClanahan. I was not able to acquire Weathers before he was injured, so I kind of saved myself there. And then Jared Jones, I have in a few places.
Yeah, I have no Jones. I have no McClanahan. Like I said earlier, I'm a bit risk averse. So those two were going for kind of the prices that you're hoping that Jones and McClanahan would become. And it was just a bit too rich for me with the risk associated with them. You know, Jones, not that I foresaw the injury at all, but just, you know, he had kind of tailed off at the end of the season after starting off so strong, he kind of tailed off. So, you know, that's a bit of a red flag. It's an orange flag for me. So I kind of wasn't drafting him at as like kind of ceiling cost. Don't have McClanahan either. Just kind of returning from injury. Who knows how many innings he'll go? Who knows if they'll like kind of ease him into, you know, he throws 80 pitches to start, you know, the first half of the season. And so he doesn't really go five innings, that type of thing. Ryan Weathers, I have in a lot of places. I mean, we talked about him a couple weeks ago too, just sitting 98, just the stuff had taken a step forward. He was quite effective the year before. So just to add on the arsenal improvements and it just looked great. So I have Weathers in a lot of places. Really hoping it's just a kind of, you know, rest for a month and then he'll be back. You know, I wasn't taking him as a, you know, 180 inning guy anyway, but, you know, it still kind of hurts just because it was just so tantalizing what he was showing in spring training that, you know, I was hoping to see what would happen in a full season. So I do have Weathers trying to weather that storm, if you will, Jeff. Yeah, I don't have the other guys, but, you know, you got to hold. If you have McClanahan, if you have Jones, you know, I think the latest news is extremely optimistic. I think we were all thinking Tommy John for both. And just kind of that's where the mind naturally goes. And it sounds like, it, you know, it may be 6 weeks for both of them type of thing. And they'll be back on a major league mound. So I think that's great. You got to hold. I wouldn't sell, or maybe you sell. Maybe if someone thinks they're being smart and saying, oh, I know that McClanahan's only out for a few weeks, so I'm going to trade for him. And then maybe you can trade, sell him at a discount maybe than, or at a higher price than you would have otherwise had to, you know, a week ago.
Yeah. I've had a hell of a time. I traded for McClanahan like the week before he was injured. If you remember, mm-hmm. I got other great players and I didn't trade that much in retrospect. So I did kind of win the trade, but I was hoping he would come back and give me some innings and build up and then I could trade him after the season, but I don't know if that's going to happen. He's kind of damaged goods right now. So we'll see what happens there, Dylan. Let's move on to the Giants rotation, which I think over the last couple of weeks had a lot of interest within the fantasy community as to who was going to get those last rotation spots. Kyle Harrison is out. He's been sent down to AAA. Landon Ropp is going to be the number five starter, which means Hayden Birdsong, who's kind of my favorite and a player that I had picked as a potential breakout arm, is going to be in a long role, at least to start the season. Who do you think ends up having the most value of the three fantasy-wise by the end of the season?
I think so. Harrison, I think he lost like 15 pounds or something like that from an illness, kind of like the Mookie Betts or Kiebert Ruiz illness, where you just, they can't keep anything down. They lose a lot of weight. So I think it's unfortunate for him. He kind of got jumped here in the rotation by the two, like Rupin and is that how it's pronounced? And Birdsong kind of been neck and neck the whole time. You know, I like Roop. He's kind of like a Will Warren's style, like the East West, like extreme horizontal movement. He didn't have the K's that Birdsong had last year. Birdsong had like way more than a strikeout per inning. So he was a very trendy pick, I know, in redraft. Birdsong over Roop, just because the strikeouts were there. Giants Park is obviously a great place to pitch. So I think with Roop winning the role, if I had to pick right now between the two, if I was on the clock and I had to pick one of those two, I think I'd have to go with Landon Roop, just because he is starting and has the role. But, you know, Birdsong easily can surpass him. It's probably not even going to be, at the end of the year, too much more fantasy value for Roop being in the rotation because, you know, Birdsong, as a long reliever, is going to come in. He's going to get some wins. He's going to throw, like, enough innings to kind of come close to a starting pitcher's kind of workload. So it's going to be pretty close. But I think just because Roop is in the rotation, I would have to go with him. And I think Harrison, just by process of elimination and starting in AAA, you know, he's going to have to shove. The other two are going to have to stumble, and then Harrison has to come up. Like, it's just going to be, it's kind of a long road for him to pass those guys in fantasy value in 2025. From a dynasty perspective, I think they're all pretty close. It's hard to choose between the three. I don't know. How would you choose the three? And if it was a dynasty startup,
yeah,
not a redraft, a dynasty startup and you're on the clock, which of those three would you take?
I think Birdsong. I like the stuff a ton. I understand he doesn't have the rotation spot right now. Just, you know, a quick rise last year throughout the minor leagues. And believe in the kick changeup, mid-90s fastball, a couple of different breaking ball shapes that are hard with good movement. I just kind of trust it. I think the strikes are there. I think he's the first guy. I'd be interested to see if Harrison maybe even gets, like, traded, you know. Mm-hmm. They have some other area of need. You know, potentially maybe Harrison ends up someplace else. It's just kind of wacky to have him up in the major leagues for kind of two seasons and then send him down. He hasn't even pitched that poorly, though mm-hmm. I did struggle this spring. Obviously, he was outpitched by those other guys. So, yeah, I guess I'm not as much of a Landon Rupp believer as others. So maybe that's kind of a part of this whole quandary and conundrum. All right, let's move on to the next one here. Nolan Jones makes his way back to the Guardians. This is a funny trade. Tyler Freeman, who apparently is best friends with Nolan Jones. They were on the phone with each other when they got traded. Didn't realize it for each other. Freeman's now headed to the Rockies. How do you like Jones in that outfield in Cleveland? How do you feel about Freeman in Colorado?
Yeah, I mean, this one is very personal to me. I took Nolan Jones and a bunch of DCs. He was kind of my breakout. He was being drafted kind of as, like, if you remember, obviously you do, in 2023 when he had that great season, it was kind of like on pace to be 30-30. He was a huge darling coming into 2024. 2024 was a terrible year. And so he was kind of being drafted in between. I was seeing it as 2024 was, you know, I think he had a back injury. He had some personal trauma in his personal life that, you know, it's kind of turns out to be kind of a happier ending. So that's okay. So I expected a bounce back. So my point is I was drafting him as a sleeper, got him in a lot of places. So the trade to the Guardians, not exactly what I want. I love the fact he's in Coors, obviously, and it even sounds like with the Guardians, he's not even going to be a regular. He's maybe just going to be a strong side platoon. So that's a bit of a kick to the face. Tyler Freeman, I like. I can't expect that. I know he's not being penciled in right now. Bud Black has said he's not a regular. He's going to get some. Kyle Farmer is going to be sort of the main second baseman after. Tyro Estrada had a broken wrist. He's not just sliding into Nolan Jones's empty spot in the outfield. They sent down Zach Veen. They kept Nick Martini up. Sean Bouchard's still on the team. Sam Hilliard is still on the team. So there's a lot of people gunning for some spots. Jordan Beck's on there. Brenton Doyle, of course, in center field. So they've said they like Tyler Freeman's ability to play up the middle, shortstop, second base, center field. But it doesn't sound like he's a regular. But he was one of my targets in Fab. An online auction with Jordan Rosenblum and Brian Slack. And we bid on Tyler Freeman. So we're hoping that he eventually ends up with the role. He'll get multi-eligibility, kind of, you know, a Nolan Jones replacement, maybe with more steals, kind of a Tommy Edman comp, especially in Coors with the BABIP. So he'll kind of hit 250 to 260 with, you know, 12 to 15 home runs, 25 to 30 stolen bases. That's what we're hoping for in Coors. So he may not start off with a regular role, but that's kind of what we're hoping for with multiple eligibility.
Could be really, really interesting. All right, Dylan, we've kind of gone through all the news and notes. We have one actually left, and that is Justin Martinez gets an extension from the Diamondbacks. Does this spell that he is going to end up being the closer?
I mean, I think if you're an organization and you commit, you know, 5 years worth of money, you're not going to just have him pitch the seventh inning. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I know they have AJ Pack, they have Ginkle, who just went on the IL. So I think Martinez, who's been throwing like 100 miles an hour in spring training, he's just been lights out on all the stuff models and stuff. He is going to be the primary closer, in my opinion. There will be matchups, of course, with puck coming from the left side, depending on, you know, the situation in high leverage. But I think Justin Martinez will finish the season with the most saves on the Diamondbacks.
I like that bet. I think it's a good one. All right, let's talk a little bit about the postmortem FYPD and kind of maybe tie in some live looks, some players who looked really, really good. I moved Cam Smith all the way up to number two, kind of in the postmortem. Of course, we got news. This is the biggest news probably of the show, that he's breaking camp with the Astros. He's going to see a lot of at-bats. I think we've seen he's met every challenge over the last couple of years between the Cape Cod League, following spring, each level of the minor leagues, this spring training. He's been nothing but phenomenal at each stop. There's lots of power. I think the fact that he's being moved away from third base, I actually kind of like. I think his athletic skill set and running ability is going to play well in the corner outfield spot. Throws kind of like an outfielder, even when he was at third base. Does have a strong arm. But the bat to ball skills, the approach, the power, I think he could even run a little bit more because he's going to be in sort of a different situation where he's not going to be hitting three or four in that lineup probably, at least early. I don't think we're talking about big steal numbers, but maybe, you know, 10 to a dozen steals wouldn't be shocking. I'm really in on Cam Smith, and I think the fact that he's moving so quickly, it's almost like this year's Wyatt Langford. So what's sort of your thoughts on Cam Smith coming out of spring training? How do you view him in redraft? Sort of how are you feeling about Cam Smith heading into the season now that you know that he will be breaking camp with the team?
Yeah, the fact he's breaking camp, huge boost to his value. You know, I worry, part of me worries that there's an outcome that is like Jordan Walker. I know it's kind of an easy low-hanging fruit, third baseman converted outfield where he doesn't really have that much experience, just to get his bat in there. But I love how much confidence the Astros have in him. Like, they want him to work out as well, just because he's sort of like the crown jewel of the Kyle Tucker trade. So, you know, they want that to look good for them. So they want him to succeed. They want to put him in a position to succeed. I like Cam Smith. I wish I had Cam Smith in a bunch of leagues. Even dynasties, I don't have him anywhere. And it's like, it's way too late now to trade for him. I think this is, you know, the window has significantly closed on Cam Smith. I think, you know, he can hit 20 home runs, hit a, you know, 250, 20 home runs, like you said, 10 to 12 steals. Like, I think he'll be a very solid player in 2025. But I think you're investing for the long run. So, you know, I would, you know, kind of pump the brakes a bit on how great he's going to be in 2025. But as a long-term investment, you know, definitely, you know, don't turn your back on him if you're being offered him in a trade.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, on the other side versus like the Jordan Walker thing, I think he's a more polished hitter, honestly, than Walker's ever been. And the batted ball angles are better than what Walker's angles were and have been since. So, you know, I think that's all part of it and certainly plays a role. But really interesting, and, you know, I'm very in on Cam Smith, of course. I'm just I think you look at the player, you look at what he's done, you look at the improvements he's made at the plate and in the fields, and kind of getting up to speed, I think, at a very decent level in the corner outfield where his skills will play. I'm definitely in. I would say that he probably has the most helium of anybody right now coming out of spring training. Another guy that I moved up really, really high, somebody I think has a ton of helium. I thought he was great when I saw him a couple times in the backfields and then in the spring breakout game. And then watching him in major league games on TV as well is Connor Griffin. They moved him to the outfield. He's playing center field now. As I kind of described to you, it was almost like a Bobby Witt Jr. skill set if you've been moved to center field. He's more physical maybe, but like a big, strong, broad-shouldered, athletic guy. He flies around the bases. How much they've cleaned up the swing. It's not just me saying this, but a lot of scouts we spoke with, it's really impressive. It's a good swing. I think it's going to get to power. There's 30-30 upside. And I would say it's almost like his top seasons could be like prime Grady Sizemore. Like it's like one of those kind of players. He was explosive and really just an exciting athlete. We've heard good things about Connor Griffin, the videos we saw of the swing kind of in the off season looked good. Now that we've seen it in practice and I've seen it work, he's really impressive. I'm in on Connor Griffin. I have him up to three. I think we've kind of been waiting for like, who's the high school player who's going to emerge as a potential superstar. And I think Griffin is certainly doing that. Sort of what's your feeling on Griffin? Were you able to acquire him in any spots? Could he potentially be a target for you in Dynasty this year?
I think he's actually the target you should go for over Smith, just because I think Smith's helium is so high and making the team going to start for the Astros. That obviously has a lot of cachet associated with it. Connor Griffin is more of kind of a speculative play. And so I think, you know, you won't have to pay as much, but the ceiling is just much higher. Like you said, the 30-30 upside. He'll be playing, you know, in a up the middle. So like defensively, he's got a long runway as his skills decline. You know, he just gets moved to a corner. Whereas Cam Smith kind of has to go to first base, maybe, or third base. So, you know, there's a lot more runway of Griffin on Griffin. He's younger. People are still skeptical of, you know, will this high school prospect kind of actualize into it? So there's a risk associated with it. So I would target Connor Griffin over Cam Smith. You won't have to pay as much. The upside's higher, and it sounds like, you know, he's not much as much of a, you know, a speculative play as he was at FYP season. So yeah, I would definitely target Connor Griffin. I don't have him anywhere. I don't know if I'd be able to acquire him, just because in the leagues I'm with, I know the guy who has Connor Griffin, and you know, he jumped him in an FYPD more than where he was kind of ADP wise, kind of consensus ADP. So he believes in Connor Griffin. But yeah, I would target him in any other leagues where Andrew McQuiston is not in the league. I would target Connor Griffin and try to get him if you can.
Yeah, Andrew's a good player. I think I've played with him myself before. Smart move going after Connor Griffin. He spotted the upside and kind of went for it. Excellent move. But Bryce Rainier was kind of his contemporary in terms of prep shortstops. We had Rainier higher initially. Griffin's jumped him. I've also moved Rainier up the board, though. So if we're looking at like a global list, a top 100, top 200, 300, 400, 500, however many prospects you want to list, I would be moving Rainier up several spots as well. Really impressive. It's just more in like the Corey Seager, you know, Carlos Correa kind of mode, where you're not really going to get a ton of steals, maybe some early, but it's going to be batting average. It's going to be home runs. It's going to be counting stats and just kind of consistent production, good in OBP, good in OPS formats, really cleaned up swing. He's a little bit stiffer. He's just not quite the athlete that Bryce Rainier is. I do think there's a little bit of projection kind of in the body, the forearms, the chest, that area, that he could add 15 pounds of muscle over the next 3 to 4 years and be a really impressive hitter. It's just going to be more sort of four category contributions with maybe a little bit less in the stolen base numbers, where from year to year, we know with the rules and everything, those can kind of be fluky, but I wouldn't bet on a ton of it. What's your take on Bryce Rainier? I was kind of excited. I think I might have even shared some video with you.
Yeah, no, I do like it. I know we had him higher than Griffin originally. Griffin passed him, but like you said, it's not because, you know, Rainer's not doing well. It's just Griffin's ascendancy has been kind of skyrocketing. So, you know, I think there may be an opportunity there that, you know, if Rainier was ranked higher on, you know, preseason lists and now Griffin's passed him, you know, there's kind of a natural perception that, oh, that Bryce Rainier must have kind of slipped. And so maybe I would trade him, you know, as an owner, you'd think that. So he may be, you know, a sneaky ad specifically because he's kind of been passed by Cam Smith. He's been passed by Connor Griffin, or the gap between the two has increased. So, you know, I would add him if I can, because I think it's a sneaky ad based on everything you're saying.
100%. He's really exciting. I think that's another name to be targeting out there. Certainly like in the baseball card world, his cards are super cheap. Pajak was talking to me about this the other day. He picked up a couple of autos. Not a big baseball card guy, so I don't go out and individually shop, but maybe that's what I'll pick up. Because I do think that it's like power, batting average, just great hit tool. He's going to stick either at shortstop or third base. You know, it's that Xander Bogaerts, Corey Seager, Carlos Correa type of a body and build. Another player I'm really excited about who's making a ton of noise on the backfield, Dylan, a guy that we were high on already in FYPDs. I know I acquired him in a ton of my drafts this offseason, maybe in two or three different spots. But somebody that in minor league spring training in the backfield looks, I didn't see him personally, but heard from a few different folks that were there. Peyton Tolia, the Red Sox, former two-way guy at Wichita State, transfers to TCU, concentrates on pitching, you know, crazy extension, really good pitch metrics, a lot of ride from his release height in particular, is a bigger starting pitching type of guy. Didn't have the most like exceptional velocity, but what ended up happening there, he goes into pro development. Velocity makes a jump. 8 feet of extension, sitting mid-90s, tons of ride. Over the course of like three or four innings, he missed 10 bats with his fastball. He's got a couple of different breaking ball shapes and, you know, an off speed as well. He's exciting. I think he's somebody that potentially could really break out. And I come up with my breakout pitching prospects article next week, the annual one that I do. I think I'm getting better at it. 24 performance was better than 23, though 23 2 years later is looking better than it did a year after. So that's good news. But Tolia's going to be in that article. I think he's somebody to chase. I'm really excited about him. I know we saw some college metrics, etc., and had some good feel for him. But if the velocity's up on that fastball with that extension and that release height and that ride, watch out.
Yeah, I mean, it's outrageous. His college numbers from what we had in 2024 was his extension was like 7.3 feet. And if you're saying he's up to 8, that's a huge jump. His average velocity on his four seam was 91 miles an hour. So if he's mid-90s, if he's 94, 95, like that's another 3 miles an hour. And then add the extension, like that's a massive jump. And so, you know, I've been playing with sort of the college data in a kind of RotoScout mode. And he kind of ranked sixth. If you took kind of the performance of the pitchers in 2024, the college pitchers, and then kind of do a robo scout thing with strikeouts, strikeout rate, walk rate, fold in the stuff, kind of assume they're like low A, high A pitchers and figure out their peaks, etc. Like he was sixth. So Chase Burns, Hagen Smith, Jamie Arnold's in there, and Peyton Tolia was in there. So he was already sixth on the college pitcher list. Add in this incredible jump in stuff, and yeah, sky's the limit. I mean, even if it's just the fastball and the slider, you kind of showed me some of those slider metrics. Like just those two has him as a high leverage reliever in the major leagues. And then if he can make it as a starter, like watch out. So yeah, I picked him up in my dynasty league on Sunday just because I got very high hopes for him.
And not an FYPD name, but somebody who's getting a ton of buzz on the backfields and elsewhere is George Lombard Jr. of the Yankees. I think this guy is going to be universally a top 30 prospect this season. He looks bigger, stronger, faster. The swing is cleaned up. Lombard looks super exciting. Scouts love him. Front office guys love him. Anybody who's watched him this offseason has rave reviews. He was great in Major League Spring Training with the Yankees. Actually got a significant amount of bats for how young he is at 19 years old. Tons of makeup. Like everybody's just totally in. I think that's a name to go after. I don't think it's a Yankees hype machine thing, which is something we always hear with the Yankees prospects. I think this guy legitimately is getting buzz all throughout the game. People are really excited. He looks awesome. Didn't do anything like on a stat sheet, but hit squared up a couple of balls really hard. And the wind was kind of blowing in that knocked him down in that Orioles Yankees spring breakout game. But he's really exciting. I don't know if you have any shares of George Lombard. I have him in a few places kind of because I grabbed him. I liked him on the backfields, if you remember last season. And, you know, it's kind of come to fruition a little bit here.
Yeah, I mean, RoboScout doesn't like him because his stat sheet, it was kind of pedestrian. His stat cast wasn't even that exciting either. I mean, he doesn't chase, so he's got a nice approach. But, you know, his ex-Wobicon wasn't great. His contact's just average. His exit velocities aren't, you know, jumping off the page. But, you know, just has the body. And like you said, we're just getting so many good reports of his makeup. And it just looks like the approach and the power is kind of growing. It was always a projection type of thing. And, you know, RoboScout's not good at projection. It's good at seeing what they're doing and then extending that out rather than knowing that, you know, good strength and good weight can be achieved in the off season. So I don't have Lombard anywhere, but I kind of am kicking myself because he looks like he's going to be a good one.
Yeah, 100%. Another name I'm going to throw out there that I believe the RoboScout was pretty high on. I think we maybe talked about him a little bit last week, but I saw some more of them. Arun Escobar of the Phillies is burning up right now. He's been great on the backfields, had a double in the spring breakout game. I think at home runs in consecutive days or 2 out of 3 days. Just guy knows how to find the barrel and just plays with his hair on fire. Somebody that if you watch him, you're just really impressed. It's an unusual body, but I'm really in on Arun Escobar. If I remember, the RoboScout liked him a lot.
Yeah, I'm just calling it up now. He is like 18th or something in the complex, 19th in the complex. And that's even considering he's a bit older. So he was 19 last year, and everyone ahead of him basically are, you know, 18 or 17, like Franklin Arias, Robert Calaz, Eric Batanti, Eduardo Tait. So for a 19-year-old to kind of be in the top 20 at the complex is pretty impressive. So it looks like, according to RoboScout, you know, he's a 20 home run guy, 15 stolen bases. The Statcast data is good. An 80% contact rate, 104, 90th percentile exit velocity, doesn't chase. So, yeah, I mean, RoboScout liked what he did last year. And if he's kind of taken a step forward in spring training, or that's what it looks like, then, yeah. I tried to bid on in my Dynasty League. You know, I don't think anyone's going to bid more than 10 bucks. So I'll put 11 bucks. And he went for like 101. Which is like 10% of your year's fab. So the buzz is happening, the helium's happening, and I'm sure it's a lot because of your article and your video. So yeah, Arun Escobar, get in if you can.
Get in on Arun Escobar if you can. Action-packed show here, Dylan. We covered a ton of topics over the last 45 minutes. I want to thank all of the listeners for tuning in. Your continued support of Baseball America. If you're not a subscriber, now's a great time to subscribe. All the fantasy content's up there. I mean, we have tons of rankings that have been updated. Lots of material as well, kind of breaking down names. Still the target if you're still doing drafts over the next couple of days. Fantasy chats. If you're into prospects, it's the best place to be. We've got top 30 lists. They're going to be updated very soon. A lot of different breakdowns. We actually go 40 deep on all these different systems as we have extra, you know, 10 guys in each of those. Of course, all of our draft rankings, they're expanding out to 300 this week. There's just so much going on at BA. Of course, our college coverage and all the other stuff that we do. Go and check it out. Thanks again for tuning in. It's been the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast.
Cheers.
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night, cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.